Welcome to Blightbringers, a Legion of Everblight podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tyrone, and joining me this week is Ryan. Welcome back.
I got remembered this week. Yay!
And you know, we haven't had on a while, and he's still part of the show, but it's super nice to have Cutter. Good to see you again.
Ahoy, everyone. It's good to be back. Things have been pretty crazy with my new gig, but happy to make it on for this special episode.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. I'm super appreciative that you organized this whole thing, but we'll get to that in a moment. We'll start with Wolf. Ryan, you ran a contest, and you selected a winner. You want to talk about that?
It's true, I did. So we asked people to send battle reports into the page, and I think we got 17 of them total over 2 weeks, which is a pretty good amount, I think. I picked a winner by a random number generator, and that happened to be Seth Cohen. I'm fairly certain I'm pronouncing the last name correctly. Yep. Better or otherwise known as Brad Park's Muse, and he's going to join us for an episode next week where we're going to talk about something, probably community building and games and some other stuff. I don't know. He's kind of running the show. I just really did this so I could take a week off and trying to figure out what to talk about.
Seth is a principal and superintendent, so he's a really awesome guy to be in that position based on what I know about the education system. So I think it'll be a really cool discussion to have because I live right near where kind of Seth's meta exists. So I get to see him regularly and I'm excited that he won the contest to be on.
Yeah, he's super good people, but he's kind of running the show on that one. So we're going to figure out what he wants to do. It'll probably be something sweet, maybe.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. All right. The real reason we're here this week, things are happening in the Iron Kingdoms. Lots and lots of things.
Aren't things always happening?
Yeah, but it's crazier than usual.
Scary.
All right. This week, we have super special guest, one of the last surviving wills, thanks to the Highlander policy that Privateer Press instituted in 2018. Lead developer, Will Hungerford. Welcome to the show.
Am I supposed to grow stronger from that?
It's my understanding.
I don't think it's working that way. I just did the most ridiculous thing, by the way, that I'm going to share that has nothing to do with Legion Everblight of the game.
Great. Off topic immediately.
T-shirt that's a picture of a long-haired cat in a cowboy hat, and it just says Meowdy underneath it, and that got ordered immediately.
As it should. Good man.
I'm going to attempt to wear that. If this goes live before next week's dev chat on Wednesday, over the weekend, look for that. I hope it comes in.
Also, you should absolutely post a link to where you got that from because I want it.
I was going
to
say, Wolf needs that badly.
I have 6 cats. We can make this happen.
That's a lot of cats. That is like too many cats.
To be fair, only 4 of them are living, but still, it's a lot of cats.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Not.
Hey, what are we actually talking about today? Or we could have an hour chat about cats, I guess.
Yeah, so.
This is CatCast now.
All right. So, Cats of the Dragon.
The listeners, they come onto this expecting Legion talk and spoilers, and it's just us chatting about cats for an hour.
Yeah. But what's your favorite cat? Mine is any fat cat. How about you?
Oh, man.
I like things that are animals that are dumb.
See, there you go.
Dumb and loyal. Figure something out. I don't need that in my life.
All right. See, I've got the perfect cat for you then. He's chubby and he's not very smart, but he's my favorite boy.
Perfect. I bet he's super loving and loyal.
He really is. It's great.
Oh, Lord.
How long can we keep this going?
Too long, I imagine.
Not okay. Let's get on to the real topic.
All right. So this week we have Hungerford on to grace us with some knowledge, some forbidden knowledge regarding the Children of the Dragon theme. As we all know, they're getting reworked coming with the Oblivion release. Hungerford, do you want to maybe just talk about what we're going to see from Children of the Dragon going forward?
Sure. So for anybody who's listening who isn't caught up on what's happening, let me give the super fast recap. So in August at Gen Con, we are pre-releasing a new product called Oblivion that is going to then hit stores in September. It's a box set product that has 2 books in it, has a miniature, and has a bunch of cards. What it is it's got the sort of story and all the fluff and the artwork regarding the arrival of the Infernals to Cain, the Order of Illumination rising up to fight against them, and then the arrival of the Archons to also fight against the Infernals. So you get a ton of just like lore if you're into the setting. There's also a full narrative campaign system that 2 to 4 players can play over several weeks that has like a lot of replayability and modularity to it that lets you play through the sort of opening chapter of the Infernals arriving. Be fighting for the cards that come in the box that are used for that, and then you get the Hermit of Hingehold model, who's like one of the key characters revolving around the arrival in the Infernals. It's a guy who knows they're coming and is running around warning everybody. And then there's some new rules. The Rules Digest. We took the War Machine and Horde's Rules Digest and combined them into one, and then also cleaned up and changed a few core rules that we wanted. Not a ton, but little things. And then a couple larger ones, which we've talked about in the past, such as the removal of hills and elevation from the game, the removal of War Beast pack rules, since it was only affecting 2 models. So we decided to redesign Scarabs and Blight Wasps into lesser War Beasts. But the big thing everyone is talking about is the Theme Force revision.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We felt, and a lot of the community felt, that the way you had to build lists within a Theme Force was a bit of a hindrance on list building creativity. Specifically, only choose from a pool of models and receive these benefits. But the benefit that was, if you spent X points on a certain type of thing, you got Y thing for free added to your army. So, you know, if it was spend 20 points on Doom Reavers, you get a free solo. Then if you're playing the Doom Reaver Theme Force, you would never take a lot of jacks because you were not maximizing your free benefits. So we've remixed that. And what we've done is a lot of the themes have had some changes to their army composition, mainly adding things. We've looked at the benefits and made sure that they fit right, but then we got rid of the spend X, get Y free, and just created the requisition system. The way that works is every theme force has a menu of options. At 25 points, you get to choose one thing off the menu. At 50, you get to choose 2, and at 75, you get to choose 3. And you can choose the same thing off the menu multiple times, and the menu might be something like, or 3 of this weapon attachment, or 2 of a specific solo, or 1 of this unit, whatever it might be. So no matter what point, what you're bringing in your army, all that dictates what free options you're getting. And the response to that so far has been very positive in regards to people feeling like this is really going to allow them to be way more creative in how they build their lists.
Yeah, that alone, that one change by itself, if you'd done nothing else, is a huge boon to list building.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, especially for us, because it seemed like we had some of the more restrictive themes with like ravens being only flying and children being only Nephilim. Like, it was really hard to get what you wanted in there.
Yes. And as part of that, so not only did we make the requisition change, we also looked at the theme forces and what was in their army compositions and made sure that they were getting compelling, not just the benefits. And Legion is one that we spent a lot of time on, all of them. But Legion, I want to say that we really, really dived deep into Legion. And that's because I agree that the restrictive nature of the previous theme forces, specifically as it related to the War Beasts, not the best experience and really hampering creativity. So recently on a dev chat, we spoiled Ravens of War. And one thing that got mentioned is that it's now non-character War Beasts. Like, the flight requirement is completely gone. Because the themes for Legion, of which there's still 4 themes for Legion, really broke down into Ugrin, so Primal Terrors,
yep.
The Ice Sorcerers, which is Oracles, the Mutants, so these are your Striders, your Grotesques, things like that, and also sort of the Spearhead, your Vanguard forces, which is Ravens of War, and then the one we're talking about today, Children of the Dragon, is the Nyss. And it is supposed to represent the traditional fighting force of the Legion's army, right? This is the martial traditions of the Nyss put into like rank and file soldiers. Like, they're the closest thing. This army should be the closest thing to that you would get with this kind of army.
Yeah, they're the only ones that have any sense of martial pride left.
Yes.
Like, we'll do that to you.
So, I can just jump right into it and tell y'all what the theme force allows and what its benefits are.
Yeah, why don't we do that? We'll start with the army composition.
Okay, so the army composition is any Legion Warlock. It's now non-character War Beasts. So you're not limited to lights, less, anything like that. Just non-Kirator beasts. So take your heavies.
Just open that right up. That yeah. Oh, that feels good.
Non-Kirator beasts. Then three Kirator beasts are available in this to any character, any warlock you take, which are Azrael, Typhon, and Zuriel. So all three of those you can take no matter who you got. Then the rest of the army is Blighted Nyss models and units. Anything with Blighted Nyss on it. Forsaken solos, Incubi solos, Spellmartyr solos, and Succubus solos. And as a reminder, Kralix is a Succubus solo, so that he does come in this. And then the army can have one minion solo and one minion unit that work for Legion. Normal rule there.
Yeah, why don't we stop there for a second and we'll talk about what's actually new to the theme, and that's Typhon, that's Forsaken, right? Those two alone are like really big.
Yeah, I saw Typhon in there, and my Abbey One list immediately jumped for joy and said, "Oh, thank God, this is amazing!"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also all of the other non-character, non-Nephilim Warbeasts.
Exactly,
it's pretty important. Like,
yeah. That's a huge change. Like that. Now, when we get to the benefits, you'll see that this one definitely still benefits taking Nephilim, but now you're not restricted so much anymore. I'll go into the requisition options and then the benefits, and then we can kind of talk about what kind of lists you guys think you might start building with this. So the requisition menu, it's got four things on it. It's any Blighted Nyss weapon crew unit. The second option is any Legion command attachment. Is five Incubi solos, and the fourth is one other smaller medium-based Legion solo. So, you know, you've got the kind of the usual, which is free solo, free command attachment, and then now free weapon crew, or just five Incubi Legion point you get. And like I mentioned, you could take the same one over and over again. I think are also really cool. There's two benefits for this one, which is that all Nephilim gain unyielding.
Which is the benefit we had. So we kept that one.
Warlocks in the army gain Tactician Blighted Nyss. When you're in the command range of a model with Tactician, basically they can ignore them when determining line of sight and can move through them as long as they've got enough movement to get through there. Which the idea is, A, this is unlike anything the Legion had before available to them. And I think it creates really fun gameplay experiences and list building exercises. The thing is, it does thematically meet that sort of like this is the traditional martial. It would be trained to do things like have ranks of soldiers move in front of other soldiers and protect other ones and keep the archers safe and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Tactician is something that I've definitely been very interested in having in Legion for a long time.
You've been on your horse about that one for a while.
Or my Alk as Fluff may lead me.
Tactician on Raptors is a thing.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That seems dirty.
it's just super good. And so yeah, that's the benefits. I know we sent this to all of you a couple days ago so you could be prepared for it. When you see this stuff, I'm just kind of curious, what lists and what ideas, maybe not even lists, just like sort of like combos, solos, what are you looking at adding that like really pops out to you immediately?
So I think the first thing that somebody mentioned was the twins, and their bubble is enormous.
Yeah, that's a 16-inch tactician bubble for them.
Yeah. Like that's, so you can cover most of your army.
Yeah, that seems almost too much, honestly. Like, completely, I looked at that. I actually had to put that on a table and be like, all right, if they're dead center, what is this? Oh, God. Like, this is a lot of the table. All right.
Outside of the twins, were there any other casters that really, really popped out at you that you found entertaining?
Lilith 3 for me. The ability to just walk through your own, you know, swordsmen or legionnaires or archers or whatever, be able to pop some shots and then repo back so you're not constantly like blocking yourself in or getting blocked off with a huge base was one that I just went, ooh, there could be some really neat stuff here.
I was about to say, so one I did a ton of testing with was Lilith 3. And it's I don't think it's too much by any means. It's just a really strong, like, I think she has a very strong home in Children of the Dragon for the exact reasons that you just listed.
Yeah, she loves Typhon. Willow 3 was definitely on the forefront of my radar, mm-hmm. because that's when you saw Legion playing out of theme, if ever, it was basically Typhon the theme, right?
Sure.
And Typhon the theme was Lilith 3 with Typhon, generally. You also saw occasionally, I think Chris Orr was running some like Blightbringer builds with a bunch of Grotesques and stuff like that, which feeds into our Ravens conversation that we can have in a bit. But yeah, I think for me, Lilith 3 is really exciting. I did play her quite a bit at the beginning of Mark 3. She was one of our... She was a really good caster in that context. Like Ryan said, Absalom One's huge. Like I think she's probably one of the most exciting casters in this theme now. I think Absalom 2 is also really interesting. I don't know if this is the best place for her, because she does have some things that she wants, but she gets pretty much everything here now. So I'm interested to see that. I know she just really likes Typhon, and when she can take Typhon, it's great. But the other two that I'm really looking at are like Vale 1, who has had kind of a rough go of things, but had some champions for her. And also, I think Fianna 2 really wakes up with some of these themes. And
Fianna 2 maybe, I played her a lot in Ravens.
Yeah.
When we were doing internal playtesting, like she's ridiculous in Ravens. Definitely do think she has play here as well.
Yeah, the thing in Children of the Dragon, I was like putting some lists together on the subway this morning, and one of the things that I think is really cool with Fianna is I played a ton of Kallus 1, right? Like he's kind of been, I don't know if you saw the meme that I made with like Thor, and it has Kallus 1 on the hammer, and it's like when every problem's a nail, right?
No, I did not see that one, but
yeah,
just keep crutching on Kallus Cutter.
Yeah. So Kallus one, you know, the big thing with him is this scenario play. He has some durability that he can back it up with, but really he's just a scenario monster and really doesn't care if stuff dies, which is something Legion is good at, is getting their stuff killed. So the it's true. Like Rot Wings are gonna die, right? Like
I mean, you're not wrong. Like Nyss swordsmen are going to die, archers are gonna die. Like your tough units are your Ogryn, right? Like they're your legionnaires might be able to if they were a little bit they need to be costed down a little bit. We'll talk about that in a second
though. Oh yeah.
Oh
that's
yeah.
That's a good hint. The thing that I was thinking as kind of a lead into that with Fianna that might be cool is taking like two or three units or two or three requisitions of Incubi and using that with all of these small based infantry in order to get under her feet, get like a pseudo Kallus 1 feat, provided that they're not like, you know, avoiding spawning Incubi, which is a little bit easier when it's not the Kallus 1 feat. So I've been looking at some things like that too, now that the Incubi are just a little bit easier to cost out and that we can build lists that kind of take that path a little bit easier without punishing us because of how requisition points work.
Which units are you thinking about?
So I played Children of the Dragon quite a bit before Primal Terrors was a thing, and then I kind of switched to PT and Oracles as my pairing. But the units that I think are really interesting in Children right now, as far as what we know. So I guess we're going to know a little bit more about Legionnaires shortly. But the ones I always really like, Hex Hunters. They've been a staple of my Thagrash 1 builds because of how they can really just drain your opponent's resources. And occasionally you can do some cute things like just lock a battle engine down and just send in one Nyss at a time, one Hex Hunter, and shadow mind it over and over and over. And I think the swordsmen have been like the traditional other part that I've been interested in. Their costs can be a little challenging sometimes. They do die, but if you're getting incubi from them, it's not as big of a deal. And then looking at Kind of depends on like what we see in Oblivion, if the Pathfinder issues are still present and things like that. But the ones that get there are going to hit really hard.
And if you're trying to do mass incubi, like you're saying, your first list, like, would it be nice to have like a semi-durable unit that was like, I don't know, like in the like 8-13 range?
It would be nice.
That would be very nice.
So when Oblivion drops,
speaking of segues,
we're doing a balance update. We're doing a dynamic update. And so the first thing, this is something I've really been trying to hammer home on all of the insiders and podcasts I've been doing, is that this is not the one and only balance update. This is balance update, launch of Oblivion. There will be more in the future. This is the stuff that we were wanted to change, had the time to play test, and we're confident that the changes were good. There are other things that I and others on the dev team want to change to be on this balance update, and that's because we need more data and we need more time to test. And a pace for updates that was too fast. The game was updating way, way, way too quickly. CIDs are slowing down. So CIDs are slowing down. You'll still see updates around them when they happen, but we're also occasionally, not as fast as CID was, going to do these dynamic updates where stuff we've been testing in here, we just changed. These will be things typically like point values going up or down, a couple stats maybe changing here or there, like maybe the range of a raven going from 10 to 8 or stuff like that.
Maybe.
And like maybe, you know, who knows. So the one I want to bring up, this might seem like a small one, but I think it is pertinent to what we're talking about, is that in this balance update, Blightedness Legionnaires are going down to 8-13.
Yeah, that's good.
9-15. Small change, but I do think when you look at the pantheon of Legion units and what your options are, having that unit at 8-13 makes them way more viable for the points compared to other things that you can choose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a cheaper unit that actually has some armor. I think the only other one we had that was around that points range was Archers. And Archers don't want to get hit by anything, ever. I've run a lot of games with them, and literally a stiff breeze will kill them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you obviously can't take Grotesques in this theme force, because Grotesques are about the other thing that's like a melee unit that falls in that same point range, right? But
right.
Well, so if you're going with plan, I'm going to choose the requisition option of 5 free incubi, and I'm going to take that, let's say, twice as two of my options. So I just get 10 free incubi in the list. Maybe I am just going to take a min or a max unit of Legionnaires and some other stuff, whatever I want, right? And like those Legionnaires aren't detracting from anything else I'm doing. And if I'm just running them up front, who knows what I'm doing with them, whatever my plan is. But like the list doesn't even exist. We're not worrying about other synergies. Like I pay 13 points and I have 2 requisition points that fill that, like those 10 incubi become those 10 Legionnaires, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just having cheaper options that are not the Archers within this theme force, I think is good. And that way, now with Tactician as one of the benefits, having a cheap unit like that kind of maybe be up front and having some of the squishier boys behind it come through them is, I don't think was there before. Is it going to be like super OP? No. Are people going to have fun with it? Probably. And will some people come up with some pretty good lists doing something similar? We hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, my first thought seeing that was to put a unit of swordsmen behind them with the command attachment, because that one dude has countercharge, and it never seemed like you could, because he was like 14-11, you could never get him into a spot where he could use it effectively. It was just kind of a rule that existed, but it never really paid off. But now when you can put Legionnaires in front of him and go ahead, charge him, you're going to take a Weapon Master attack to the face, and maybe if it's, you know, another expendable unit, you don't care. But if you're sending in a heavy, you might care a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in some of my more recent playtests, one thing I was doing was just hiding Kralix inside a unit of Legionnaires and using Tactician to be able to see through them to shoot whatever I wanted to.
Kralix is so good.
Ridiculous. Like, that model is absurdly good, and he can be a free solo in this. So, like, you don't even pay points for him. You get him. You spend 13 points on Legionnaires. And then, like, they just sit there wherever you need, maybe, like, near a zone, pressuring it, a couple toes inside of it. Who knows? They're contesting something. And Kralix is just behind a wall of dudes, just busting shots wherever you want to. Like, it's good value.
Yeah, and it's because of arcing fire, right? Because the way I'm seeing it written is friendly blightedness can see through friendly blightedness, see or move through.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like the theme structure itself lends its design of lists to like a bit more of an infantry focus than it did before, because like we mentioned at the top, it's like the requisition change allows us now to kind of flex in that direction to get the freebies that, you know, we just get them now. And I've always thought that Incubi were like one of the best things we could take in Children of the Dragon because of what they do for Legion, where they give them like that little bit of extra resilience in scenario and in like filling in gaps where we don't really have that capability a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's one of the options that I always really liked about. So I played Oracles a lot. That was kind of my jam for a while. And I played a mini unit of Nyss, or Hex Hunters rather, with Bale, with Thagrush. And I got really addicted to the Apparition and had a hard time like feeling good about them when I was playing in Children. But I feel like with the requisition options, maybe it'll be a little bit better. Because sometimes Nyss, they're one of those units that sometimes they're just dead in the water. But if you at least get Incubi out of them, that's something.
And then did y'all hear about y'all keep up with the Raven spoilers we did on the dev chat recently?
Oh yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah, yeah, I was watching that at work and had my boss staring at me as I was squealing in delight.
So if anybody wants, we did a dev chat, it's on YouTube, on the Privateer Press Prime YouTube, you can go check it out. But like one of the big things we announced, it also coming this balance update, which I know doesn't affect Children, is that we gave CRA back to Striders.
Yeah, what the heck?
I miss that. I really, really miss that.
Yeah, that was one of those ones that when it happened at Mark 3 and they lost it, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I'm so glad they got it back.
Yeah, I agree, right? Like, there's
It's just a small team that does so much for them.
Mm-hmm. One thing that sometimes we as the devs go on stuff and they hear us say stuff like that, like, I agree. And they're like, why I wasn't always there? Like, one thing I have to make clear is, like, we're a dev team and we don't always agree on them. Like, it kind of comes down to unanimous decision, and the final arbiter is Jason.
Yeah.
And or Souls, as a lot of people know him. Yeah. And so there's been times where there were things that I was like, I don't like this at all. And it just happened, and, you know, I have to accept that I'm wrong, and it moves on. And Striders were one that, like, I was never happy they didn't have CRA. So I'm finally happy that after some time, we reopened those debates and conversations and looked at where the game was, and they're back to where they should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love Striders. They were a big part of my, in the last edition of my Veil 1 play, because it just gave her something that she could run around and reduce defense with that could also pack a punch, maybe.
Yeah.
when they needed to.
And for anybody who missed the dev chat, and we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but some people know Ravens is another one that the War Beast option got opened up big time. It's just non-character War Beasts. Now Golab. Golab is available to any caster in Ravens.
That's that one really felt good. Really good too.
Yeah. You're going to see that in the other themes as when Primal Terrors and Oracles get spoiled. I know that Jeff Olson, our playtest coordinator, went on another podcast recently, and I was just actually chatting with him on the phone while we're talking, and his podcast is going up Friday.
Yeah, shout-outs to Line of Sight. Jayden.
Yeah, it's going to be on Line of Sight. They're going to be talking about Oracles, including, and I can't say anything because I don't want to spoil it for them, but one of the coolest interactions that you can possibly, when I say coolest, it's just funny.
Oh, I'm very excited.
You'll know when you see it.
I'm excited.
They'll talk about it on the podcast. It does something with two specific Merc / minion models that you may have never expected would happen. And it's pretty funny.
All right, okay. So now you're just being a tease. We're literally doing to us what we've been doing to everybody else for like the last 3 days. That's not fair.
Good, that's what we do, right?
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because like Legion as a whole generally doesn't take mercs or minions, or at least never used to.
That's the thing. With pre-requisition, a lot of people didn't, right? Unless you had some really crazy combo, you didn't, because they weren't adding whatever you were taking that was a merc or minion wasn't adding to any of your points towards what you were trying to build. Feedback, having played, you know, I've been playing since 2005, the merc minion choices in list building were always really important to me, especially like in the Mark II days. And with Requisition, I think now you are going to see people reach for that random unit they feel might do something. I mean, sure, a lot of your faction buffs don't work on them. But at the same time, I think the solos in particular will gain a lot of just like, I've got 5 points left over. And, you know, I could use a tankier combat solo. Like, I've got a bunch of, like, long-range, squishy people. So, I don't know. I'll grab James, and I'll throw James in there. Or I'll grab a Totem Hunter. Maybe six, but, you know, I'll grab a Totem Hunter. Bolton Ashley into a list because, like, he's really good. And you just didn't see him because 6 points was a lot to not be contributing towards other free models.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, Legion did use some. We used Croaks a lot because we didn't have a lot of fire damage to play around with the Archangel Animus and stuff like that.
Right.
Or, like, Kallus too.
Mistspeaker was another one that got reached for a lot because if you need magical, like, it's cheaper than a Naga.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I wanted to talk... I know you wanted to talk about Ravens a bit. And kind of get our hot takes on that too. I have a question, and maybe you can or can't answer it, but one of the previous benefits, like some of the benefits are going away, right? Like some of the model based benefits are going away. And sometimes that's being added to a model. At least we've seen for the most part that gets added to a model, you know, that if something had a specific ability like Murder Crows got ambush in Bump in the Night, and instead of them just losing it, basically they just gained it naturally. And then the theme kind of got another benefit.
It's very specific, and that involved a review of those models, their point value, and what else was happening in their faction. So to speak to your point, like we previewed, the temple for protector, right? And that kept the Daughters Gain Ambush ability because Daughters are not getting it naturally. I did an insider on Thornfall Alliance where the Pharaoh Commandos Gain Ambush ability is gone, and that's because Pharaoh Commandos are picking up naturally. They just have ambush. It.
Nice.
I
don't know if you can say if any Legion models are getting that treatment in a general way or a specific way. But it would be really cool to know for list building.
I can stay. And the answer is none of them are getting that treatment.
Okay.
A lot of changes to these theme forces, and then like the point drops. And ambush is a really ambush. And we were able to test these themes to the point where we feel that they're all viable. And that the units in them are all good choices and can do things. Pick up ambush that got it from a theme previously in the future, maybe. Testing data where we were at was not at the point where, like, where our feedback and testing data was at the moment was that they didn't, it wasn't necessary and it wasn't needed for the theme to be complete and to be a solid and viable theme. So if you see one of these themes and it doesn't have the so-and-so gains ambush in Legion, that unit is not gaining ambush naturally.
Okay. And that's the same for like other things too, like the Ogryn get vengeance from the theme, and then like I don't know what's happening if we still have apparition and oracles or stuff like that, but it'll be the same type of thing.
Yeah, it depends. It's real case to case. Like in some cases that benefit got taken away and added to the unit because the unit needed it, in our opinion, and in some cases the benefit got taken away and it wasn't added because the unit didn't need it. I use Pharaoh Commandos as a good example. When we took Pharaoh Commandos and gain ambush away from Thornfall to give them, you know, all Pharaoh gain rise and you depend on the trenches and stuff, we looked at Pharaoh Commandos, excuse me, compared to Pharaoh Brigands, and like Pharaoh Commandos needed ambush. Like that was what they did within the army that really, really made them function. Busted the crap out of it because ambush is a super scary ability. It's the one that you have to crunch the numbers on so much to make sure that you're not making a mistake anytime you give anything ambush.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it happens. For most factions, it didn't. It just depends on what it was.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
I'll wait with bated breath about about what might happen with Hex Hunters.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to know on Friday, right? So line of sight's going to bring out oracles. That'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Oracle is a very different theme force in terms of what it does.
Oh, see, now you're scaring me.
You're teasing again. Stop it.
All right. I've got a question.
Happened to Oracles, but you'll find out soon.
Yeah. Okay. I got a question about Typhon. Like, what was the thought behind adding him to Children of the Dragon? Like, did he just fill a role, or was there something specific that you felt that he brought to the theme?
So one thing we did was basically every character, Jack or Beast, found a home. 99% of character Jacks or Beasts found a home in a theme force. So we picked and choose which ones either they thematically fit, playstyle worked the best. If I'm not mistaken, we've been through so many of them, so excuse me if my brain doesn't remember everything perfectly.
Right.
I know who ended up in Oracles and Primal very specifically, and obviously it's Golab and Ravens, though Golab's in both Primal Terrors and Ravens.
Yeah.
We looked at children, and we were looking at Ravens primarily for the two of them, and we realized, like, Ravens is that slightly faster moving force. They have access to Golab now. We looked at some of the stuff they could do and what their game plan was, and we looked at who needed Typhon. Who did it benefit more? Because I do think that Ravens is a very strong theme force now. We knew what we were doing to the Striders. And since he thematically kind of narrowly fit either, we settled on putting him in Children just to give Children that bump of being able to run Typhon. And then a lot of that came out of stuff like playtesting, like Lilith 3 and some other casters, and realizing how good they were in Children, being like, well, Typhon's just a really good fit here. So he kind of just eventually naturally slotted into that place because it made enough sense and was a good gameplay experience.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and Golab and Ravens, along with the Rotwings, is pretty incredible when you consider things like Deathstalkers and a lot of other ranged attacks with access to Sorceress and Hellion.
Yeah.
Just like auto-pinging points and go, all right, finish your models, go.
Uh-huh.
And like the reason Typhon didn't go in Primal Terrors is like, most casters, you're probably not bringing them. And if you are bringing one of the Thagroshes in Primal Terrors, then you're bringing him anyway. We don't need to spell him out. As long as he has a home where anybody can take him who's not Thagrosh, where it makes sense. And so yeah, that was where he ended up.
Yeah, I'm happy to see him in Children. The four character list is hilarious. Like, that's just too much fun.
Was that like the first list I sent you when we got it?
Oh, yeah. It's gross. Let's see. Oh, I'm curious about where Anissa is. Do you have anything you can tell us, share with us about her?
Her Anissa is?
Yeah. Like, I know she's available in Children and Ravens, but like, development wise, is anything happening with her?
No, she's not changing. We got plenty of games in with her. Good. Is she like best in class? Probably not like the most like absurd or obscene or OP model you've ever seen, which is a good thing, right? We don't want things to be OP.
Yeah.
But with where she was, especially again, given what I feel like, I do think Raptors are one of the strongest things in Children of the Dragon because of Tactician. Mm-hmm. And doing a good job, she's a solid choice. And the thing that I think takes a little bit to is that, like, you're not, when you start building lists, you're not really constrained anymore, so just throwing her in there doesn't take anything away. I mean, you can't get her as a free option, obviously, but like, she's just a good choice, and if you're taking Raptors, you might be adding one of her anyway. So she didn't get any buffs, she didn't get any anti-buffs, she kind of just stayed where she was.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were really hopeful that she would show up as a requisition option for Children.
No, look, that we tried to keep all free points. If you're playing 75 points, which we know is the most popular size, on average, most lists get between 16 and 18. And we were careful about adding a few different things that were either too powerful or too strong or cost too much. She cost 8 points.
Yeah.
Right? That point value didn't go. You know, to make her fit into that would require some rules gymnastics that, honestly, so she won't ever get changed, but to be honest, she's not. We kind of have this watch list for each faction of things that we're keeping an eye on and things that we're testing and things we do feel need to change for the health of the faction. Right now it's a lot of buffs. Only a few things are getting anti-buffs. And I'll tell you that Anissa is very... So there's a few other things in Legion that aren't in this balance update that we've got our eye on and that we're testing. But overall, we're pretty happy with her.
So I actually had a question. I know we mentioned the Legionnaire point change. Are there any other units that are, you know, maybe picking up a rule, or they're changing in points, or as a whole, was the development team kind of looking at the NIS going, nope, we're happy where these are?
The one, so there's stuff we're looking at, but the two main unit changes, players picking up CRA and then the NIS dropping points. I believe there's a couple other little changes, but I can't talk about those just yet.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
Most of the Ogryn, we're 100% fine with. Are, you know, they just had a full CID. And a lot of things, the closer they were to a CID, the less chance that they were going to end up getting a buff unless something really, really went wrong. And more widely tested, and we had a lot of data on them. It's a lot of the older stuff. And for anybody wondering about Hellmouths, didn't get any anti-buffs. They're fine.
Right.
But Jay was fighting so hard to get them anti-buffs.
I was so worried, dude.
I have to give him shit for that still. I called him out on that, and I'm going to keep doing it. Uh-huh. Eat it, Jay. It's what you get.
I mean, they lost the extra 2 inches of deploy, right?
Like, sure, yeah. Thing.
So,
I mean, the only theme that, if I remember correctly, that could take them as a free requisition option anymore is Primal Terrors.
Yeah, that was the only one it ever could.
I was trying to make sure that of the four, that's still the only one. Yeah, that of the four in the remix, the only one that can still take them as a free option is Primal Terrors. And yeah, they are still a free option in Primal Terrors. So.
Sweet.
Cool.
That's awesome.
So I'm gonna segue that, and we'll like get a little off the beaten path here, maybe into Crazy Town. So
Crazy Town.
Something that I've really wanted for Legion for a while, and I just want to throw it at you because you're a captive audience at the moment. Mm-hmm. Is
I can walk out of this room anytime I want.
basically, I want a theme, or I want some way in Legion to get my tentacular spectacular going. I want to run all the tentacles. I want to run Thrones. I want to run Proteus. I want to run Hellmouths, Throlg, Swamp Horror. I want all the tentacles. I want them in mass.
Oh, I've got good news. You can do that.
Okay.
I think it involves so not playing a theme.
If you just don't play a theme, you can do whatever you want with those models.
That's fair.
Womp womp.
That's what you get, Cutter.
I just really... Sorry,
I don't think we'll see a tentacle theme force anytime soon.
Yeah, that's fine. It's something that... It's like a sub theme. And it was one of the things that Matt Wilson said about Legion when we were going into a whole new war, right? As he's like, there will be tentacles.
I believe you, and I don't remember him saying that, but that does sound like something Matt would say.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. I don't think a tentacle theme is going to be anytime soon. Thanks.
Okay, if no one else has anything, hardball question. Have you ever considered that the E's in B are silent?
Yes.
Oh my god.
They are. Oh man, speaking of which, and this is one I can't talk about only because we're still doing stuff to them right now, but I am really excited for y'all to see the new Blight Wasps.
Oh, please, please make them good.
Make them good with somebody who's not Abby, too.
Oh, that because too.
How fun as that is.
Well, I mean, they're lessers now, right? Like, they aren't packs anymore. They're lessers, and you know, we're looking at a couple different testing options of things we've done. I think at Lock and Load, what we said is they would be a group of lessers you bought, like, you know, like Razor Boris, how you get 2 for 7, how it'd be like you got 4 for whatever. But we've actually been looking at a couple different things we could do to make them really interesting, where they might just become a Blight Wasp costs 2 or 3 points and is a lesser, but we'll still have synergies with other Blight Wasps you might take in the list.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It's really cool in Ravens of War, because Ravens of War's benefit is that lessers pick up marked target. And Blightwasp Harriers. You know, anything that can, you can just kind of put where you want it to be is always really nice to get marked target where you want it to get in a list that's got so much shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
release
so
the bees.
My headcanon now is that Blightwasps are just running forward, and instead of like painting the target, they're just buzzing angrily and annoying all of the Nists so much that they're like, all right, shoot that guy there. I can't stand this anymore.
That narrative makes sense in my head.
And is one of the things that you're considering, now that they're lessers, I think that they can come out of the spawning vessel, right?
They absolutely can.
Okay, that's really cool. That's something I've always wanted for them, but it didn't really make sense the way it was built. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and that's one thing we're looking at their point value. Like if they end up becoming super cheap, you know, you get four of them for, you know, 7-8 points, whatever it might be, or if it's just, you know, a Blightwasp costs 3 and we start looking at it versus like a Harrier and how's it different. The spawning vessel definitely plays into those considerations, knowing you can just make free ones of these things.
Yeah.
So the new character lesser that's coming out of Riot Quest in the future and how that's going to interact with the spawning vessel.
Yeah, the Mechano Shredder.
Mecha Shredder!
Shredder. I have to remind myself if spawning vessel says non-character. I actually don't remember off the top of my head.
I will look that up.
Does. I think it does.
I think it does too.
Do we have any information on Mecha Shredder? Do we know where he's going to end up theme-wise? Is there anything you could tell us about him other than he is a mechanical shredder?
That all we said at Lock and Load, and all I can say right now is that his fluff, his idea, his concept is that in the Riot Quest timeline, no one has seen Legion of Everblight in a very long time. No one's sure if they're still around or not, but this dude had seen a shredder once. And so using all of the scrap and stuff available in the apocalypse, he built himself a mechanical shredder as a little guardian, as a little protector, and to run around and like constructs and other like, you know, automatons and stuff running around the wasteland.
Oh, recycling.
like violent recycling. So you have this scrapped together mechanical shredder with a giant wind up key in its back, like a toy soldier just running around. The problem is the guy that built it is now gone. So this thing is on its own.
It's like a Wally
doing whatever it wants. And kind of what I just told you about its background, inform you a little bit of the kind of things it's going to be good at whenever its War Machine and Hordes rules come out.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
All right, get theorizing, listeners. Post your thoughts in the comments section. We need to know.
I just imagine this thing running up and like nibbling on the ankle of a Warjack, and then suddenly it like just falls over because its leg broke off.
it's pretty sturdy. Also, I mean, y'all are getting a Construct Warbeast, so cheers.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
that's fun.
I feel like a real boy.
Oh, man. Okay, I think it's about time to wind this down. But before we do, I personally need to know, where's Bethane at?
I will put it this way. Remember that list I was talking about?
What Action list?
Yep.
The watch list for action to make sure things are viable and balanced.
Yes, yes.
Keeping testing and for certain things that didn't get on this balance update that we want to, but we need more data for things we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Bethane is very high on a watch list.
Oh, thank God.
So not yet, but hopefully in the future. That's fair.
I'll leave it at that.
That's fair. Okay. No, I can appreciate that. Petter, you got anything you want to say?
Yeah, so I know the community would be unhappy if I didn't ask about if you were watching the Nephilim lesser, or the Nephilim lights as part of this like watch list process. So, because they just weren't taken generally in Children of the Dragon.
I mean, everything's on the, like, you know, it's almost like a priority list is the best way to put it. You know, of what is high priority that needs to get a change, what is lower priority. So everything is on there. And our highest priority for Legion was themselves, which, as we've talked about the ones y'all have seen, we opened up a lot of options. And the thing is, that took a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
bringing these themes to now be every Warbeast means that we have to play games using all these Warbeasts with these benefits and then with the changes we were doing to things. And that's just a lot of testing. So are definitely something we're keeping an eye on, but you know, we can't change everything to change everything. And you're going to see the amount of updates slow down. So it really does come down to what is the highest priority. And I will tell you that like Nephilim are not like the highest priority. No. There's other stuff in Legion we're looking at. And another part of that is, go back to the CID updates. That was just way too fast. The game doesn't have time to settle. The game needs time to settle. Like, we were rotating the meta, not the players. Yeah. And it needs to be player-driven, and that requires the updates to slow down. So in a perfect world, would Nephilim one day get stuff? Maybe if they needed it. But at the same time, like, there comes a time where, like, the updates kind of have to stop so the game can just be what it is and we can put out new stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. And I'll bring up counter charge on the soldier is amazing. And then I'll move on. So one of the things that I wanted to ask earlier, I wrote down, is the Oblivion box. So I have a new meta in New York City. Really into narrative events, really wants to do league things. We've run a couple journeymen with them. It's at a new club in New York City. And I know that I can't make it to Gen Con, sadly. It just doesn't work out for me this year. And I don't know if I need to get a ninja in order to get an Oblivion box, or if it's something that's going to be available online at the same time. But I know they're really excited about it, so I wanted to make sure that I
need... will not be available at the same time.
Okay.
They need, so it'll be in stores the next month, but okay. you will want to send a ninja. Yeah, the narrative campaign is exactly for people that want that kind of chill experience and to play kind of over as long or as short of a time they want. It's 2 to 4 players. Like, you could, if you a 2-player campaign, like one side's pro infernals, one side's anti infernals, I think each player ends up playing, depending, because it's a branching tree path, depending on, like, did you win or lose this scenario? What happened to this one? Okay, your next scenario is this. Then did you win or lose this? Like, there's different outcomes. You build a plot line as you go, and you have different results. And then everyone sort of meets up at the end of this big, great, big finale mega battle. And depending on how you did, earned you benefits or penalties towards the end. So you can play the same campaign with just 2 people, like, 3 or 4 times, and have totally different results every single time. Really quickly, like, you could do the whole campaign in a weekend if you wanted to, but we recommend like 6 weeks. Like, take your time, relax. Mm-hmm. And if you do a 4-player campaign, like, definitely 6 weeks so that everybody can get their games in. So, but if somebody wants, if they're fans of like the story and steamroller, right? Like, if you just want to like have fights where like there's a scenario where like there's a Morrowind church in the middle of the field, and you actually like build the church using a couple different elements, and there's a front door, and you have to get in the front door, and there's a Morrowind priest inside, and somebody's trying to run in and grab him, and whoever grabs him, like, holy energy starts cascading off of him, and the other side's trying to stop him. If that kind of stuff sounds cool to you, and you're like, a cinematic experience with my War Machine stuff, then the Oblivion narrative campaign is exactly what you want to play.
Or if you just want to, you know, cosplay kidnapping a priest, I guess?
Well, if you're the good guys, you're trying to protect them. You're trying to save them. If you're the bad guy, if you're Infernals, you're trying to steal him away so you can learn his secrets and find out what he's all about.
You're on the Legion cast, son. None of us are good guys.
Well, that's actually addressed in the campaign. It says no matter which faction you're playing, it says if you were playing Infernals, it probably makes more sense for you to be pro-Infernal. But the idea is it's your corruptors or guardians, and corruptors are people that either knowingly are helping the Infernals or have been tricked into helping the Infernals. And guardians are people that see all this chaos and anarchy happening and are either trying to restore balance for their own gain or restore balance altruistically. So no matter what faction you play, as long as you can come up with a narrative that sort of fits one of those two ideas, Carver list where he would be a guardian. Like, everything's going straight to hell, and like his pharaoh are getting, you know, popped off, and he's like, "No, I got to put a stop to this and like have a sanctuary so we don't, you know, go extinct." Totally makes sense. I could see the Everblight telling all of the Nis and you know all of Legion being like, "Everybody, you know, bad stuff's coming, stuff worse than Turok. we got to put a stop to it. Otherwise, we won't be anymore. And he could be a guardian.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, but at the same time, I just imagine him sitting there, like, big, like, shit-eating grin on his face, tapping his fingers, like, no, we're going to let you kill everybody first, and then we'll come in. Like, I can see him, like, making an agreement with the Infernals, like, look, you want the souls, we just want the bodies, it's fine, we can trade, it's good.
Recycling. Okay. Yeah.
Would like to make that deal if the Cephalics probably hadn't already, right?
Makes sense.
Those jerks.
Cool.
All right, Ryan, you got one thing you want to ask before we finish it up?
Let's see. I already asked my B question. So
important question.
The world needed to know, even though we weren't recording at the time. So if you didn't hear it because we weren't recording, sucks to be you. Now you'll never know.
Secret
B things. Only question I guess I have is I know that this isn't necessarily your department, but I feel like maybe you would have an idea. Maybe? I don't know. Infernals are coming. Shit's going down. How does that affect fluff-wise, like Legion, like Krix? Because most of them aren't human, so the Infernals are, I guess, going after them because they're in the way. But, like, do they really care about the dragons at all, or are they just looking at it like, giant soul, cool?
So, you know, it definitely, like Doug Seacast, the better person to ask, but so, you know, I'll give you sort of my understanding of it. And it depends very much on the faction. So the deal is with it, human souls, right? It's 2/3 of humanity, the deal that Thamar made. So you have to wonder, like, why do trolls care? Why do Scorn care? Stuff like that. Actually addressed in the Oblivion book, because it's got a ton of fiction in it. But for Krix, you got to imagine there's the whole Shard Isles, which are filled with humans, which means the Infernals are coming to the Shard Isles to like shard pirates and stuff like that. While the Satixes may no longer be actually human, and obviously undead aren't, anywhere the Infernals might be coming to get theirs is a bad place. So Turok's definitely got a problem with Infernals showing up at his doorstep to come get a bunch of, like, you know, dudes on boats. Then also, Krix kind of has a massive investment in taking the souls of living things. That's how their war economy works. Like, so much stuff works off Necrotite and then the use of souls. And so if there are less souls available, that does, to some extent, weaken the Nightmare Empire. A little different. Could Legion hide up in the mountains and wait it out? But with the Infernals running amok everywhere, that's obviously going to draw the other dragons to action, right? Because there's going to be Infernals running around human lands where there's dragons hiding. Shard Isles, which is going to make Turok probably do something. And if all the dragons get up and start doing something, that's obviously got Legion's attention. And it's got Everblight's attention of how he wants to handle that. Because the last thing Everblight needs is for the dragons to have some kind of big alliance to stop the Infernals. And then they afterwards go, well, we're all allied. What should we do now? I don't know. Let's go kick the crap out of all the other dragons that have been giving us problems. Deal.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Could be like a big problem. So Legion definitely has a reason to get involved in some degree, but as for what Legion would be doing and how they would be helping or hindering, well, that's kind of...
All right, fair enough.
Cool.
Do you have any, like, final parting teasers that you want to harass the community with?
No other parting teasers other than now in Gen Con, there's a lot of information coming out on fine podcasts like this and different people's blogs and the dev chats and stuff like that. Get excited and, you know, and discuss things, but make sure that get some game time in versus all the other changes. Like, there's a lot happening to the game when Oblivion comes out. And I would definitely say, like, it's not a teaser so much as it's a piece of advice. Everything as its whole, once it comes out, get excited by the tidbits as they release, and then get out there and play some games. And we really do hope that the requisition system, your list building, and that you have opportunities to put models on the table that you love, that you felt you couldn't for a long time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Of course.
Okay, I think we'll leave it at that. Will, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been awesome chatting with you today about Children of the Dragon.
Having me, I appreciate it.
You're welcome back anytime. Just get a hold of us if you feel like it.
I mean, I'm on the Discord, so I'll see you guys on the Discord. Mm-hmm. I know I see y'all in the War Machine Discord often, so
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I got to watch the spectacle involving brigands the other day with you. That was entertaining.
The brigand Helldiver one, or just the brigand one?
Both. I should really stop looking at Discord while I'm at work, on a side note.
It was a good time.
Alright, well, we will leave a link to the Discord in the show notes, and I think that will do it for episode 46 of Blightbringers. Thank you all for listening.
You're all beautiful people.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.